This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on a full Thursday program. Monty Kratzenstein is our co-host today. Trev Alberts, what? What? You're sending me this Trev Alberts love, and then it's just like, man, let's hug it out.
I felt a little embarrassed about that. It sounded like it was a little bit too much, but there's no doubt in my mind, and no doubt I have been a Trev Alberts fan ever since I was a senior and he was a freshman. And it was so interesting hearing him talk about how, you know, his progression and the fact that, listen, he was not a great football player when I was there. See, there's always this hierarchy in college football or anywhere. You know, you have your seniors and then you have the freshmen. And no matter how good those freshmen are, they're still freshmen. Well, Trevor's
especially
kid,
back then.
Oh, right.
Whole different
right.
scenario.
Because
today.
It was so much about development, and so many guys weren't ready to play until their third, fourth, even fifth year. Trevor was one of those guys that literally as a stand-up defensive end in a 5-2, you felt bad for him. I mean, he and I have talked about it a lot of times, where we would literally tell him on scout team, tell him the play was coming your way, heads up. I mean, he was that guy, and he was the nicest guy in the world, so classy, but you knew he was going to be fine. And then when they switched schemes and he put his hand down, man, I mean, he was as good as it gets, but he was always so humble, and you know, when he went, I was a big fan of his when he went on ESPN, and we did all those different things. You know, I'm just a big Trev Alberts fan.
I still think he's the one that tweeted Mark May, but anyway. Coming up on the show today, and then we're going to get back to a little Husker talk here. Brian Seabrantz, he's the head wrestling coach at Grand Island Northwest. They had a big win over O'Neill this week. They're ranked in the top 10 in B. They're a very good dual team. Had an individual break their school wins record this week. We'll talk about that. The Hastings College women won their ninth game in a row last night. If they get to 11, then you have found your coach of the year in Kerry Hofstetter, because Saturday it's number one Morningside, and next Wednesday it's number three Concordia. Not in the conference, in the nation. The number one and three ranked teams in the nation are their next two up, and we'll talk with Coach Hofstetter. Plus, at the end of the program, our final football chat with Luke Hoover of RotoWire for the year. We'll answer any questions you may have. I know there's still some fantasy football playoff stuff going on. I know one of the questions, if you're in one of those and you don't have the right team, there's a couple of those that if you don't pick the right team, you're kind of going to be struggling these last 2 weeks. Who's that backup? Who's that number two wide receiver, number two running back that might have a chance to score you some points? We'll also talk about the studs and duds of the 2014 fantasy season. So if you have any questions for Luke, as always, be sure to email or tweet those in. The Twitter address, at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're also going to give you a chance to win a couple of tickets to Cunningham's tonight for Nate Ford and Brendan O'Day. They are this week's comics. We just started a new contest, and we're trying to get that going here. And our winner yesterday screwed up on his dates or something, so he can't go tonight to the early show. So we're going to give you a chance to pick up those tickets because we want somebody to go. We want there to be a winner to a comedy night. They start feeding at 6, or you can sit down. The show begins at 7:30. Of course, there's also one at 10:30. These tickets will be for the early show tonight at Cunningham's, Nate Ford and Brendan O'Day, and we'll give you a chance to win those here momentarily. I want to get back to a couple of things for Trev Alberts. Two things. First, how does a nice guy get that attitude that you need, especially on defense? You can be a nice guy and still block on offense without being mean. But on defense, you kind of get that persona that you got to have a little meanness in you to finish off the play. And Trev Alberts obviously isn't the only guy in football history to be that kind of player. How does that happen? Don't give me the switch thing either, because everybody gives me the switch. How does that happen?
It's a good question. Speaking for a guy like Trev, there's a difference between meanness and intensity. And there's guys that are just flat-out intense players, but they aren't necessarily mean players. And I'm not saying that you don't have to have both in some cases, but there's a lot of guys who are good guys even on the playing field that have that intensity, and you know the term is the motor, you know, has that motor. That's what he had. You know, the thing is, it's so important in sports to find the right guy for the right job. And you know, you see that in scheme, you see that in he was the right guy for that job when they put him out as a rush end. We don't have rush ends anymore. There's very few, even in college football, true rush ends and out of that 4-3. But he put his hand down, he got in the sprinter stance, and he attacked that guy's outside shoulder. You know, it wasn't a deal. It was a one-on-one battle, but it wasn't it's a little bit more of a technique, explosion, athleticism sort of position than you would consider just that middle linebacker meanness sort of thing. So I think there is a little bit of that, too. If you're playing a technique like Sue plays and you're double teamed and it's hand to hand combat, that's, you know, talk to Jared Crick about that. You know, and Jared Crick might be a better example because he's playing a position where I don't know that there's a lot of really, really nice guys playing that position. Jared Crick's a nice guy. You know, we've seen him. And so that'd be a good question for him too. But as far as Trev's concerned, he had that intensity, that motor. He didn't have a switch that he turned on and off. He had that motor all the time.
Second question on a totally, this now is his legacy question. And I mentioned it yesterday and you probably heard it. How much will his legacy in the state of Nebraska be tarnished, rightfully or unjustly, by the decision that came down at UNO, and he will have to be forever the face of that decision to disband the football and wrestling programs? Because everything else he did, I still think there's some non-Nebraska fans that don't like Trev, the TV analyst, which, you know, or Colts fans that he was a bust. But that had nothing to do necessarily with the man. I think this is a little more pointed type of deal.
You're exactly right. He was the face of a decision. And he was in a no-win situation. He did his job. He made the right decision for that university at that time. If you're associated with the football program or the wrestling program, there's no way you're going to forget that. There's no way you're going to forgive that decision. And a lot of them won't even understand it. Even, you know, time heals all wounds. That won't change. And so he knows what he's gotten himself into. I mean, he knew that. I think he's handled himself very, very well. He's not going to go down and explain the 7 different bullet points of the decision-making process of how it was done or why it was done. But I don't think that tarnishes. I guess what I'm saying is you can't please everybody anytime, and no matter how great of a person you are or how great of a whatever you are, some people are still going to be unhappy with what you've done, and they remember that. And he's not going to change that. It's unfortunate because, you know, we all like to be liked. We all like to be liked by everybody. It's not going to happen. And same way with this football analyst sort of thing. In that position that he was in, he was going to be that guy. His job, he said it, it's TV, it's entertainment. They will tell you, okay, you have to say this. We're going to have another guy say this, and you guys are going to go at it. It's a little bit of acting involved in that.
Yeah, Mark May is still a tool. Do you think, and maybe you have a little more insight, and then we'll take a break here, and you can no comment if you want. Do you think the way that went down, because a lot of people just believed he was going to be the heir apparent to Tom Osborne as the athletic director at Nebraska. Now, whether that's true or not, up for debate. Will that forever tarnish his opportunity to move to Nebraska? And will he want to now? I mean, UNO is Division I. Obviously, he is young enough that there are a lot of opportunities out there for him. But do you think that really knocked him off the tracks of having an opportunity at that job when Sean Eichhorst was hired?
No, I don't think so. And the reason is anybody in that sort of position, anybody who's an athletic director, anybody that's the CEO of a major company has to make those types of decisions. I would actually almost spin it the other direction and say the fact that he was placed in that situation, the way he handled that, would be more of a positive. I'm sorry. When you're in those positions, you have to do those sorts of things and make those decisions. So I don't think so. And I agree with you. He is young enough. He's going to have a lot of opportunities in a lot of areas in the future. I do know he's very happy where he is. And he enjoys, and he's one of those guys that it isn't about the prestige as much. He's a family guy. He's a where I live, this is what I do, I'm going to do it the best of my ability sort of a guy. So he will have opportunities in the future.
Well, he likes being a Midwest guy too. I mean, he hasn't had to venture from the Midwest, even when he was a Colt. His time working at ESPN, that's a back-and-forth type of deal, but most of his life has been lived in the Midwest. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hopefully at some point during our busy show today. I'm sorry, Monty. Anybody that sat there and watched the national championship game and just watch the coach's film room is a geek. I want to watch the game. I want to hear the announcers. I want to listen to them if it's radio. I want to watch them on TV. If you want to DVR it and go back just to see what Mike Riley did, so be it. But I know you did that, and so we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. Brian C. Brandt's head wrestling coach at Northwest, Kerry Hofstetter, Hastings College women's basketball coach, Luke Hoover of RotoWire. It's all coming up. Stay with us.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made a happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Lots of sunshine develops across the area today as we head our way up in the mid-40s for highs. Winds will stay in the northwest, about 10 to 15. Then with clear skies tonight, we'll head back into the mid-20s for lows. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 37.
Caddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And folks, there are so many great vehicles to choose from right now. Let's just give you a little look at what's going on out there with the Chevrolet, the Traverse LT, the Equinox LT. Maybe you're looking at Cadillac. How about a Cadillac CTS sedan? Still a couple of 2014s on the lot. And if you're looking for something different, 90 days until first monthly payment on all 2015 Jeep vehicles. For a limited time, you can defer monthly payments for 90 days on all 2015s. So see your Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer, Midway Chrysler, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac GMC. It's all there for you. Or go to thinkmidway.com, South 2nd Avenue. Follow them on Twitter. Like them on Facebook. Keep up to date with everything that's going on at your Midway auto dealerships. Doug Dudamani Kratzenstein, the former Husker, joining us today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's get on the wrestling mats because there's quite a few area duels tonight, but there was a big one this last Tuesday. We got a chance to see O'Neill earlier in this year, and Grand Island Northwest, who was ranked third in the Class B dual rankings, beat number one O'Neill in Class C dual rankings in a close one, and a lot to talk about. So Brian Seabrantz, the head wrestling coach at Northwest, joins us. Coach, good morning. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Boy, we set up this interview, and then the next thing you know, you're all over TV, you're in the newspaper, it's Northwest Viking Week.
Yeah, we got quite a bit of recognition, and, you know, that's good for our kids, I think. They've worked extremely hard this year, and, you know, hopefully great things will continue to happen for us.
Well, let's talk about this duel, a great opportunity to take on O'Neill, a couple of programs that have really grown here in the last handful of seasons. Tell me a little bit about the atmosphere on Tuesday night and what it meant to win this duel.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Mr. Corkle down there at O'Neill and his program. And, you know, they're one of the best programs out there, and they got some really good individuals. And I knew it'd be a tough duel, and you know, we had some kids out with the flu, and I just didn't know if we could be able to pull it off. But our kids dug deep, and they came through for us. And, you know, we had some key matchups. You know, Devin Schmidt at 120 was going against a ranked kid from O'Neill, which Devin's a great competitor. And, you know, he had something else on the line there too. So he really wanted to get the win for us. And then, you know, they had a couple kids ranked number one at 145 and 152. I just knew those were toss-up matches that we had to come through with one of those weights, and Carson Sock came up with a big win for us. And, you know, Austin Cooper almost had it. He had tossed Blake Walters to his back. First time the O'Neill kid had been taken down all year, but just didn't get it. And I think that might have upset Blake a little bit. He came back and kind of opened up on us. But and then, you know, we had some other kids. Ty Johnson at 182 had a great match for us. You know, we just got some kids that are really stepping up for us right now.
Coach, when you go into a duel like this, is your coaching preparation or teaching or philosophy any different as opposed to going into a big tournament, weekend tournament sort of thing? I know the atmosphere is a little bit different. It's a little bit more of maybe a team sort of a thing. What do you do differently going into a big match like this against someone like O'Neill?
You know, I just, you know, sometimes we get some chances to scout them, and you know, huddle's a great form of, you know, to watch some film on some of those teams. But, you know, you get to know some of those coaches, and you know what they like to do. And you just kind of, you know, I review a lot of those moves and practice what they like to do just so in case they're put in that situation. Like tomorrow we go to Lexington duels. We'll see like five or six teams. It's harder to do that when you're in a tournament situation, but on a duel setting, I think it's a lot easier.
Talking with Brian Seabrantz, he's the head wrestling coach at Grand Island Northwest. Talk a little bit more about the accomplishment of Devin Schmidt. It's been a while now. Blake came over and transferred in and was a state champion, but someone that's went 4 years through the program, it's been a while since Northwest has had a state champion. And as you mentioned last night on TV, the number of matches have changed. But if you can get into that varsity lineup, crack 20 wins as a freshman, as Devin did, you're going to have an opportunity to really have a great career. And he becomes your all-time school wins leader, and that's saying something no matter what school you're at.
Yeah. You know, and I've coached Devin all the way up to little kids, and, you know, I knew Devin would be a great one for us. But, you know, like I said, coming in from middle school to high school, it's a big jump, and you never know what you're going to get out of a kid. And for him to win 20, 25 matches as a freshman is a huge accomplishment. And he's got a chance to put that record out of reach for, you know, for some time. You just never know. I mean, if kids could get more matches down the road, it might be reachable. But if he gets another 20 wins, it might not be touchable.
You've got some other kids, obviously, that are rated, and you kind of ran some of them off. You got Carson Sock, you've got Austin Cooper, you've got Ty Johnson, you've got Bailey Dishman. You're positioned to do some good things here in the postseason, but you still got a lot of season left here. So where do you see your program heading here over the last month of the regular season?
You know, we set some very high goals for our team. You know, we always shoot for that top five finish. You know, just getting our kids to believe in themselves was a huge thing this year, I think. And then once we started getting recognition from some coaches and we performed well at the York Invite and Holdridge and then the Flatwater Fracas, we did not do so bad there. And then when in Central City last week, you know, I think the kids are believing in themselves more and more. And when they see that, you know, other coaches are believing in them, it just builds a lot of confidence. And, you know, those five guys that we have ranked, you know, all those kids have been to state before, and I just, you know, knock on wood, I just hope that once you get down to state, you know, they perform like they have been all year, which I think with the confidence they're building, they should be able to. But, you know, there's going to be some tough teams right there with us, especially in our district. York will be knocking on the door, so. But I have a lot of confidence in our kids right now. They're wrestling at a high level.
You mentioned the Lexington Invites tomorrow. Then you'll have a couple of duels with Lakeview and Adams Central. You'll go to a dual tournament at the end of the month with McCook, and then it's the Central Conference meet. York's there as well. During these, what's going to be the best competition? What's going to be the one day that's going to test you guys the rest of the way before districts?
Now, Friday's a huge day for us, I think. If we win all of our duels in our pool, we have an opportunity to see Omaha Scut on Friday. And I just told our kids it's a great opportunity waiting in front of us. It's a measuring stick to see where we need to be or where we're at. And, you know, you got to see teams like that before you get to state. And Brett Hildebrand's got a heck of a program down there.
Yeah, Scott does okay. They're the one to shoot for, aren't they?
Yes, they are. But got some huge goals for our team. And I think, you know, like I said, the top five finish is one that we really want to make sure we get there.
There's no switching around much anymore in wrestling once you get past the Christmas break. I know you'll already have a number in mind for how many kids you think you can qualify for the state tournament. You've been into double digits here recently. I'm not going to ask you for a number here today, but is there a weight class, even for some of your rated wrestlers, that is going to be loaded, maybe 195, maybe 182, maybe 52? Where do you see a loaded district?
You know, Bailey Dishon at 195, he'll have the Hederberg kid from Aurora, and he'll have the kid from York as well, which he's beat both of those kids, but they're both very talented, and he'll have a tough district. So, I mean, I think he'll do fine, but it'll be one of the tougher districts because both those other two kids are ranked. You know, 145 is a really tough weight class this year. We just got some kids that, you know, the weight classes they're in, they're tough, but I think our kids are stepping up, and I think they'll be ready. You just never know when it gets to that time of year. It depends on who's healthy, and, you know, hopefully nobody's got the flu during that time because we're fighting that right now.
Yeah, well, let's get the kids healthy, and so everybody can give their best effort. And speaking of a great effort, Brian, we'll let you out of here with this because everybody's following the story. I remember when you brought your daughter over for the wrestling rally, just everybody's been trying to keep up to date. Can you give us an update on how Caitlin's doing?
Right now, currently, she is in remission. We are no longer doing treatment, and you know, she's doing very well. The only bad thing, she can't go to school right now, so she's at home. But we'll go back in March, and she'll do another body scan to see where we're at. And we're just hoping that nasty disease stays away.
She bummed that she can't go to school, or is she still at that age where it's okay?
You know, I think she was a little bummed when she found out she couldn't go to school. It's just that her immune system is so weak right now. It could take at least 3 to 6 months for it to build back up. So, but she's all right with it. She likes hanging out with mom at home, and But I think she'll be just fine. It's just as long as we can keep her in remission. So.
No doubt. No doubt, Brian. You guys have done so much great work on the mat and obviously with what you're going through here. And hopefully in a couple of months, that'll be the end of it. And we can just watch her grow and maybe see her at the state tournament as well. So congratulations with the Vikings and can't wait to see you guys here in about a month.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Take care, buddy. Brian C. Brantz. I hate that damn cancer. And the kids, you just see, you know, you got the Avery Harriman. We've heard about that the last week coming back, the assistant coach at Nebraska and his son. And seems like there's more of it. Maybe that's just because there's more of us. But it seems like there's more of it. And they always seem to smile. They always seem to have a smile on them, no matter how rough it is. But that's where the priority is. That's where our prayers have been. And it's great to hear that things are pointed in the right direction with her and what he has done and what that coaching staff has done at Northwest, building this program back up has been awesome as well.
You know, I think you're right as far as awareness standpoint. You know, we're more aware of pediatric diseases and those sorts of things because of people like that. And you talk about him always smiling. I really, you know, adversity is one of those things where, you know, you look at people going through those sorts of things, say, I could never do it. We could never have something like that happen. And then when it happens to them and to you, then you think, you know, this, they get the strength, and they get the strength from a lot of other people and brings people together. And it's really inspiring to see that sort of thing.
We're going to take a break. Coming up in our next segment, Kerry Hofstetter, Hastings College women's basketball coach. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, we have our Cunningham's Comedy Contest every Wednesday. And we were not able to, our winner was not able to use the tickets tonight. There was, I don't know if they miscommunicated what the day was or what the situation was, but we just want to make sure somebody can go tonight. So just for being a loyal listener, we have tickets to the 7:30 show, 6 o'clock. They start seating. You can order your food. But it's the early show tonight at Cunningham's. Brennan O'Day, Nate Ford, they are the comedians. And if you would like to call now, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We'll give you a pair of tickets to tonight's Cunningham's comedy show and then catch up with Coach Hofstetter. We'll be right back. Call.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fonner Park.
Meet your friends for lunch today at Fonner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Choose from a fantastic menu of salads, sandwiches, burgers, baskets, and wraps. Special today, lasagna just $6.25. Play live draw Keno, watch and wager on racing from all your favorite tracks, including Gulfstream, Oaklawn, and Santa Anita. So race to the finish line, number one for food and fun.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
A couple months back, my wife had an accident. Everybody was all right, but her car was a mess. She was all upset, but I told her it's no big deal because we have insurance and the body shop at Crossroads Ford. Crossroads can do it all, from door dings and hail damage to fender benders and major bodywork. Her car was looking like new in no time and with no insurance hassles. Well, thanks to a deer, now it's my turn. Thankfully, they work on all makes and models. Small enough to know you, big enough to help you. Crossroads Ford, North 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
See the latest trends in home building and home furnishings at the 32nd Annual Kearney Home and Builders Show, January 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Leading home builders, home improvement businesses, and decorators will be sharing ideas at the Buffalo County Expo Center. January 23rd, 1 till 7, the 24th, 10 till 7, and the 25th, 11 till 5. Admission is $3 per person, 12 and under are free. Featuring the Wildlife Encounters on Saturday and Sunday. Sponsored by Kearney Area Builders Association. That's the Kearney Home and Builders Show, January 23rd through 25th in Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Congratulations to Jason and Gibbon. He's going to comedy night tonight. Hope he has a rib tickling time. You've been getting nice. Crazy on me because you've been watching you've been paying attention to the GPAC.
I love the GPAC. I've got this vested interest though. I had a niece that played for 4 years there at Concordia, and you know, she's the head coach at Arlington High School, so I keep up with that neck of the woods. And now my other niece is a sophomore playing for him, and so if Coach needs a from Hastings needs a little scouting report. I've seen Concordia play a lot, although I'm not promised I'm giving her the right stuff.
Well, Carrie Hofstetter's young ladies have won 9 in a row. They were up to 17th in this week's NAIA Division II women's basketball poll, and she joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Do you need the scouting report?
I do. Seems like we sometimes have a little trouble with them, so I'll take the information. Anything you can give me.
You know, those of us that have been watching that conference for a long time know that Concordia plays a lot of kids, and they run up and down, and they shoot a lot of threes, so I don't think that's changed over the years. And when I look at your team, some of the things that you do, it hasn't changed over the years either, especially when it comes just flat-out winning.
Well, we're trying. So that's always been a great rivalry, and it's always a fun game, and it's been pretty close pretty close games over the last couple of years, so it'll be an exciting one for sure.
Morningside Saturday on the road, then Concordia next Wednesday. Those are the next two games, but 9 games in a row, haven't lost since November. This basketball team is playing pretty solid, and I guess the key sometimes, Carrie, is finding a way to win the close ones. You were in a dogfight last night.
Yeah, you know, we've had several close games over the course of those 9 games that we won. Yeah, we had a tough stretch early in the season with, I think we played 7 or 8 ranked teams, and they were all in the top 15 before Christmas. So we were challenged early, and with as many new bodies as we have on the team, we kind of hit some road bumps and had to figure some things out. And the last month or so, I feel like we've made some strides in that. Last night, was a great example of playing in a close game and kind of getting down and having to keep our composure, and we missed about, 22 footers over the course of the game. So a little bit deflating at times and still, playing well enough to get the win at the end. So that's a sign of an improving team, I think.
Carrie, I think that this, I always call this time of year a little bit of the dog days of the season, because everybody has a scout on everybody else at least once, especially when conference comes. You know, you have some people that are banged up. You have, the normal grind of this sort of thing. It looked to me like your bench scoring has been pretty impressive. Talk a little bit about that and how that's been advantageous to you, and hopefully as you progress through the season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody knows Jamie Van Kirk's a great player, and she's going to, take shots in the game. And so everybody in the GPAC's got a game plan to try to shut her down and bring doubles and all sorts of schemes against her. And so, it's been really important for us to have kids like Hallie Samuelson and Chanel Farmer and Chelsea Morton and Holly Hill. And, I mean, I could go down the list, and it seems like over the last several games, we've had just different kids step up in big moments and contribute in ways that, they've always been able to. It's just, in the last few games, I think we've had some kids gain some confidence and understanding that they need to be, a threat on the floor at all times. And that's helped us a ton. Rachel Gelden from Holdridge, the freshman, was really big for us last night, grabbed a few he rebounds at the end of the game, hit a couple big free throws, and she's going to be a great player for us in the future, and she's already, you know, been a huge contributor to our success this year.
What makes Morningside so good this year? I haven't had a chance to see them, but certainly know that they're pretty good.
Yeah, well, they're unique, you know, and it's one of those things where they're the only team in the country that you're going to play all year long that plays like they do. They've got a matchup zone that, you know, they've gotten really, really good at because that's all they ever do. And, you know, it's one of those things where they're long enough this year and athletic enough that they cover a lot of space and close gaps pretty quickly. And so attacking their zone is always a challenge, and obviously they're able to kind of take some tendencies away while they do that. They have a good sense of where Jamie Van Kirk is all the time, and they extend that pressure into the full court like they always have. And I think what separates them this year is offensively they're very balanced. They have a really, really good post player in the Mole Kid, and then they've got a couple really, really good shooters this year that really spread the defense and cause a lot of mismatches. And so they're probably the most balanced that they've been in the last couple of years that I've seen. So they're good.
Talking with Kay, number one, they're okay. They're okay.
20 in
yeah.
a row.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
no.
They're good.
Kerry Hofstetter, Hastings College women's basketball coach, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Dudamani, Krasenstein with you on this Thursday. You guys, remind me here, Kerry, are you a stronger rebounding team this year than you've been recently? And if so, what's the magic potion?
Well, I think we've been able to rebound from a lot of different positions. You know, our guards are pretty good rebounders, and then our couple of post players can go and get rebounds out of their area. I think we were a pretty good rebounding team last year. We continue kind of that trend this year. And, you know, offensive rebounding, especially to give yourself a few more possessions every game, has been highly beneficial for us. And, you know, I always talk about rebounding isn't that much about technique. It's just about who wants the ball more. And so we challenge our kids all the time to try to go chase them down. And we have several that are pretty good at it.
Well, you mentioned Jamie, and sometimes we don't talk enough about the kids that are doing outstanding things, but we mention them all the time. She's been a multiple player of the week. She's averaging 20 points a game. She's been able to get up some 30-plus point games. When you talk about teams trying to stop her, double her, and they still, and she can, and great athletes can still find a way to put up numbers like that, what has changed in her game, and how does she get it done?
You know, she's the thing that makes Jamie unique and separates her from a lot of players is her basketball IQ is phenomenal. You know, we give her a lot of freedom. We'll give her some screen action, some multiple screen action, and just let her make reads and kind of go where she needs to go to get the look that she wants. And so as a coach, obviously, that's you love that. You love that about kids that are able to kind of use their own skill and their own IQ and be playmakers, and she embraces that. She really enjoys the thinking part of the game, and you know, I tease her all the time that she should be a coach, and you know, hopefully maybe I'll convince her and she'll stick around or something. She's good though. She's got a great mind, basketball mind, and obviously the skill set to complement it.
Well, I know her dad pretty well, and I'm going to say right now that she probably didn't get a lot of that intelligence from her dad. So she's overcome a lot of genetics like many. No, I've watched her play for a couple of years, and I'll tell you what, her skill set, I would agree, her skill set is just impressive, especially at that level where she can get a shot. She knows where the basket is. She's got different ways of getting shots off, but she isn't one of those kids that just flat out is just a shooter, and I sure appreciate that about her.
Okay. Yeah, she's a 3-point shooter. She can post up. She can attack the rim. She can do it all. Yep. Absolutely.
Kerry, we talked when Coach Perrone came in. Everybody on the bench with you is going through their first year. There has to be some difficulty with that, and probably some great things, some knowledge, some different eyes out there. But the rest of your staff, brand new. How's that been working?
Good. You know, it's one of those things where it takes a little bit of time to figure each other out and to kind of find out what they're seeing and in what ways – you know, I think one of the things is they're getting used to my intensity on the bench. So if I get after them, it's not personal, you know, it's just me being me. But, no, you know, John brings so much big picture, kind of expertise. He's used to having to see the whole game, having been a former head coach. And so, sometimes there are times where he's seeing some big picture things that you know, he'll throw out, and it's been extremely helpful that way. And obviously he's done a phenomenal job off the court. You know, he's a lot of high school coaches, and he's done a really great job of reaching out and being all over the place recruiting wise. And you know, so we've kind of started to figure each other out, and then our GA and our student assistant have also done a great job of kind of, you know, figuring out what they need to do to help the team and be voices. And you know, I'm probably fortunate in having three additional coaches in addition to myself. So I've got a lot of voices, and a lot of eyes on what we're trying to do.
Well, let's like we said, if you get this winning streak to 11, then the votes are already in for Coach of the Year. And I know you don't care about that, but that puts you guys in a great, great spot. So let's see if we can keep the winning streak going. And best of luck. We'll catch up with you again soon, Carrie.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
Take care. Don't forget 1230 KHAS, our sister station, always the home for Bronco basketball. 2-4 on Saturday, 6-8 next Wednesday.
I'm hoping to get to that game on Wednesday. Again, that's a good rivalry. That's a good college rivalry. I wasn't going to tell her, but that little redhead that's about 5'7", she's left-handed. So I don't know if she knows that or not.
I'll bet they figure it out.
She's a smart coach. They'll figure it out. No, that'll be a fun game to watch.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coolest. They're the coolest, right?
Get yourself out of this one.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
We're in Midtown Mart, Hastings. Stop by, pick up some beverages, fill yourself up with the gas tank. We love the prices, and Midtown Mart will take care of all your party needs as you get ready for the AFC and NFC Championship games this Sunday. That is our Midtown Mart cooler question. Who will win the NFC Championship, Packers or Seahawks? Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Yesterday we asked you about the AFC. No surprise, 80% took the Patriots, 20% took the Colts. We took the Colts yesterday, Monty, because we kind of both figured that both the favorites won't win, so we went with the Colts. Your thoughts?
I'm kind of a favorite guy. I think Patriots, just because of what they do and how they do it. From the other side of things, though, Packers, Seahawks, I think that one will be interesting. It's such a quarterback league, isn't it? I mean, isn't it interesting how at that level it just so much of that comes down to how well one position plays?
A healthy mobile Favre would make me feel different about this game. He's not healthy. He's not mobile.
Yeah, Rodgers is not at all. And how much he'll have to use his legs, because that's what he does so well. I think that's a big factor, and I think that might be the deciding factor if I had to guess.
They're going to have to run the ball. Green Bay's going to have to be able to run the ball. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Luke Hoover of RotoWire will join us. If you have any fantasy football playoff questions for Luke, be sure to email them in, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, or you can tweet us at ESPN1460-1550, and we'll be back after this.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week, a Custom Pack of Hastings, get USDA Choice Boneless Beef Round Steak, only $4.29 a pound. Tyson Tray Pack Chicken Tenders, $1.98 a pound. And 8-ounce wild-caught skinless salmon portions, only $2.97 each. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Hi, it's Bo Huffman from your Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island GNCs. That's General Nutrition Center for those of you not familiar. GNC has been the health and nutrition leader for over 75 years and continues to provide the highest quality and variety of nutritional products for any and all health needs and concerns. From acne to wrinkles and everything in between, we have the right option for your best health. Live well is our motto, and we strive to help you live well every day at the Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, in the Conestoga Mall in Grand Island, and the Hilltop Mall in Kearney.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
And it's bad, bad, Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong, meaner than the junkyard dog. Now Leroy, he a gambler.
The Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our final football segment of the year with Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Got a couple of questions for him. We'll go over the fantasy studs and duds of the past year, but also a couple of questions out there when it comes to the fantasy football playoffs. And Luke Hoover joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Happy New Year, Luke.
Hey, happy New Year to you guys.
Are you still knee deep in fantasy playoff football, or are you focusing towards baseball?
I'm still riding out the football season for now.
I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it. I took a flyer with some of the Bengals players, and that didn't work out so well. Of course, if I'd have had the Colts, we'd have been in better shape. Let me go right there. There's not a whole lot of different ones out there. I know a lot of people are on the NFL.com one because they're advertising the crap out of it. But if you didn't start at the beginning, you're really not going to have a chance to move on. They scored a little bit differently than RotoWire ones do or other people do. So if you're looking for a number two out of these four teams that are left, if you're looking for maybe a two or a three wide receiver or a backup running back or a fullback or even you consider Matt Flynn because maybe Aaron Rodgers is knocked out early. Do you see somebody that can contribute this weekend and possibly in the Super Bowl?
No, absolutely. There's a handful of guys, and we saw them step forward last week. I could say the same names that put big performances out last week. And the first one I would look to is Jermaine Kearse in Seattle. I think that they'll be able to run the ball a little more effectively against the Packers than they did Carolina. But I think this is Russell Wilson's team right now, and that they're going to put the ball in his hands to win these big games, and get that second ring. And we saw Kearse really step up with a huge play last week. He had a great playoffs last year as well, a touchdown in the championship game and the NFC championship game and the Super Bowl as well. I also like Davante Adams. I think I give Seattle the edge certainly in winning the game and advancing playing two contests. But with the way they shut down Jordy Nelson in week one a little bit, limited him as far as his yards per catch and everything. They're going to focus on him and Cobb, certainly, just like we saw last week with what Dallas did. And Davante Adams really stepped up, certainly seems to have the trust in Rodgers. And if Green Bay is going to win, I think he's going to be involved pretty heavily again.
Luke Hoover of RotoWire joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, if you've got a question, email it off to us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Twitter address at ESPN1460-1550. Luke, when it comes down to fantasy football, you're looking for fantasy points. It would seem to me the opportunity of more fantasy points would be in the AFC game than the NFC game. Do you agree? And if that's the case, how heavy do you go with Patriots and Colts players?
I don't know that I entirely agree with that. I actually think that the Seattle Green Bay game, both teams I expect to be in the 20s, if not, one scoring in the 30s. Both those offenses are very strong. Seattle's D, as good as they are, is going to have their hands full with the Green Bay offense. So I think they figured out how to move the football with Rodgers being a little bit banged up in that second half. I don't know that they'll do that regularly because they probably want to protect him a little bit. going four or even five wide allowed Rodgers to get the ball out of his hands faster and, you know, keep the tempo, you know, really high with that no huddle attack and put the pressure on the defense. I think Green Bay tries that a little bit and can move the football. Carolina had some success last week. I expect Seattle certainly to step up and play at another level as well defensively. They're not playing Cam Newton in that Panthers offense. You know, this is a different animal with Green Bay. But at the same time, I think both teams can score, and I would be surprised to see the Green Bay defense really slow down Russell Wilson and that ground attack that Seattle brings. I could see Andrew Luck struggling, and I could see the Patriots going to a little bit of a conservative game. So even though there were plenty of points scored in their first matchup in the regular season, I don't really expect that to be the same case this time out. I think that one actually might be more of a slugfest than the Seattle-Green Bay game, believe it or not.
You might give me a little hope. I've got a buddy who's got Tom Brady, and I've been tired of listening to him talk about it for so long. Can you give me a little something besides maybe they can be a little conservative just to throw it his way? I got to lob some grenades over his way some way because I'm tired of it.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I wish I could give you more. I think Vontae Davis is going to cause some problems for the Patriots as far as the receivers on the outside, but they've got, you know, Julian Edelman that they can move around in the slot. Amendola really stepped forward last week with a pretty, you know, major surprise performance given what he'd done in the regular season where he was almost non-existent from week to week.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So with him stepping up and adding another element to that offense, Brady's tough to slow down, but I also kind of think Belichick, you know, he's a smart coach, obviously, knows how to game plan. They just killed Indy on the ground last time. Jonas Gray had so much success in that, you know, that one big game that he had before vanishing off the face of the fantasy earth. But LeGarrette Blount, you know, can do that himself. They weren't able to run at all last week. I don't expect that to be the case. You know, I think they get the ground game going and probably play a little bit of ball control to keep it out of Andrew Luck's hands.
Belichick might sign somebody today and give them a bunch of play on Sunday, too, so you never know with what they're going to do. You've touched on a lot of areas, Luca. Before we kind of go to the season-end recap here, just kind of refresh it here. In your eyes, which quarterback, running back, and wide receiver will have the biggest fantasy day on Sunday?
I would actually say Russell Wilson at the quarterback position. I really trust him in those big games. He got in the end zone three times last week. Like I said, Marshawn's going to have more success than he did a week ago. But I think the Seattle offense is getting in the 30s against Green Bay, and Russell's going to be a big part of that. You know, also with his legs, I expect him to be escaping a couple pretty strong Green Bay pass rushers with Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews. At the running back spot, that one is a really, really tough call. It's almost a toss-up. You know, I don't know that I don't do a PPR format as far as fantasy playoffs go, but if any of those leagues are out there that are PPR, you got to love a guy like Boom Heron in Indy. He's got 18 catches, you know, in just two playoff games. I think he's going to stay really involved for that Colts offense, particularly with, you know, Luck on those checkdowns. So I expect his total yardage to be good. He had a really big game last week and found the end zone as well. So I like him because, I think Marshawn's going to have a nice game, but I don't know that he gets in the end zone because Russell Wilson's, you know, really sharp right now with his passing. And Eddie Lacy's still got to go against a tough defense, though I think he is a good play, that Packers offense is going to have to throw it a lot. At the wide receiver position, you could go any number of directions. I think Randall Cobb has a nice game in him. He was looked to quite a bit last week. And again, I expect Jordy Nelson to be a little bit more on the quiet side. And I think Julian Edelman steps forward again. You know, he didn't get in the end zone, catching the ball last week, but he did throw one. And I like his chances of having another good week.
Well, Luke Hoover has been great. He's been with us every week throughout the regular season and wrapping it up here at this playoff edition a couple of weeks away from getting the Super Bowl. Luke, there's always the studs and duds of the year and the people that are in the franchise leagues that are trying to decide who to keep and who to get rid of as they head into next year. Obviously, in Odell Beckham, as you said, Heron, there's some guys that emerge, the C.J. Anderson, that are going to be big, big, big. But for you, I think Andrew Luck was probably the stud of the year. You can tell me who you think it was and who was a couple of duds.
Well, in my eyes, I would probably say my number one dud is a guy who I would have taken in pretty much any league as a top five pick. I was extremely high on Monty Ball coming into the season. And, you know, obviously the injury was a huge factor. He couldn't overcome that even when he returned. It was just coming back for the one game. But he was playing pretty terribly even when he was on the field prior to that. Both Ronnie Hillman and certainly C.J. Anderson showed that it had nothing to do with the offensive line, you know, the offense as a whole, because they both ran very, very well, really effective out of the backfield, you know, as both runners and receivers. And I think a lot of people had very high expectations for Ball and probably did take him as a number one player. And he really let a lot of teams down this year. You know, at the receiver position, if I were to name a dud, and it's hard to really say that he was one because it was really injury, I think, that cost him ultimately. And he was still at least able to find the end zone a handful of times. But I was surprised to see Brandon Marshall, you know, come short of a 1,000-yard season for I don't know how many times in a row it would have been at this point, but he's been super consistent. He did find the end zone 8 times but and missed some games, which really, you know, obviously cut his season short. But, you know, you probably took him as a top 5 to 10 at the least at the wide receiver position, given how good he's been in recent years. And he was a little bit of a letdown, obviously.
Well, I know there's always drafts going on. There'll probably be one next week for fantasy football somewhere along the line. But the guys that we should look for next year that are going to be undervalued, either off injury and Adrian Peterson coming back off suspension, who do you expect is going to be in your rankings, in your RotoWire rankings, a little too far down next year and might be a steal?
Well, another guy you could have called a dud this year, actually, that I would rank, you know, pretty similar to where he was coming in this season, mid to high teens. But I think Michael Floyd really turns it around. He was a 1,000-yard receiver the year before. He's never quite put up the touchdown numbers you'd like for a guy who's a, you know, got that big 6'3", 220 frame. But and this is obviously a caveat, if Carson Palmer can come back healthy, had the ACL injury. But if the quarterback situation looks promising or, you know, there's some potential there in Arizona, I think Floyd can take another step in his career. He did ultimately end up finishing with a little over 800 yards, so it wasn't too bad. He had a really big game to close out the season, so that boosted him a little bit. But I like him to bounce back. And a name that, you know, he came on late in the year. You know, it was a guy who a lot of people were probably questioning whether they should flex him or not a lot of weeks given his kind of boom or bust potential. But Martavis Bryant for Pittsburgh, I think he's got a huge, huge upside. He didn't even end up seeing 50 targets for the whole season, just 49 targets, and he still found the end zone 8 times. Topped 500 yards, over 20 yards of catch, given that big playability. You know, that type of size, speed specimen that could really, you know, really kill some defenses and some secondaries, being able to get behind them, but also be a factor in the red zone, you know, given his height. So at the receiver position, those are two names I'm definitely keeping an eye on. You know, it's tougher at the running back spot. You know, as down as he was, I wouldn't be shocked if Monte Ball came in completely healthy, if he could be a factor for Denver. But I'm going to say C.J. Anderson is probably still going to be undervalued because of the Monty Ball factor. But I think that's his backfield going forward. If Peyton Manning returns to Denver, I like C.J. Anderson as potentially a top 10 running back, even though there's going to be a little bit of probably uncertainty entering the season for Denver in that backfield if Ball is healthy.
All righty, Luke, as always, folks can get signed up for fantasy baseball and all of the fantasy sports, even from NASCAR to hockey to basketball. It's all there at RotoWire. And, Luke, we appreciate the job, and we can't wait to chat again.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Luke Hoover, RotoWire, RotoWire.com. Well, a few things we're going to touch on here before we wrap up the Doug and Daddy show. Cardale Jones is going to make his decision, which will impact the rest of the Ohio State quarterbacking decisions, I would think. But Monty Kratzenstein, not Monte Ball, but Monty Kratzenstein with us here. It's a domino effect. Cardale has to know what these other two guys are doing to make that decision today, doesn't he? And what do you think he does?
I think he goes. I don't think, because I don't think his draft stock has a chance of being any better than it is right now. And what that draft stock is, I don't know. I don't know if he's a mid-level sort of a guy, but he's at the peak. You know, he played three games at probably the highest level that he can play. I think it can only go down from there. Is Urban Meyer really going to start him over Barrett or any of those guys if he's – no, I don't think so, if they're all healthy. So I think he's gone. It wouldn't surprise me at all. It's an interesting problem to have, though, have those three guys at that level.
Also, a quick comment. You watched the national championship game to get some Nebraska coach Mike Riley comments there in the film room. What did you think of it?
Oh, I liked it because I like to see a glimpse of their personalities and a little bit of their philosophies and maybe their decision-making process. And yes, duly noted and also guilty as charged, I am a geek when it comes to that sort of thing. You know, I thought it came off very well. Not surprisingly, he's articulate. He's like a teacher. He doesn't talk just to talk. He has some real definite ideas of what he believes in, and I like that. But also what I really appreciate and I'm anxious to see in spring ball is he's not afraid to change. He's not afraid to adapt. And you could see that. He had some insight when it comes to some of the coaches' decision-making process throughout the game. He said he would say, you know, just, hey, in this situation, Oregon really likes to do this a lot of the times, and lo and behold, it was there. You know, that part of stuff is fascinating to me. I thought it came off very well. I thought Derek Mason came off very well. I had a little interest in watching him because he's my buddy's boss. But, you know, I just like watching that kind of stuff because we don't really know what these guys are like. And I don't know if that's exactly what they're like because they're still on TV, and sometimes TV isn't exactly real. But I thought it was fascinating. Yeah,
radio is.
Radio is real.
Who won the room? That's what it comes down to. Who won the room? Did he win the room?
Depends on where you're looking, how you define win. Who talked the most?
Well,
Dan Mullen, yeah. By far. You know, but I think all, and that's the other interesting thing too, is I think all of them did what they do well. They didn't try to change, and so it all depends on what you're looking for. I thought it's a great thing to have a guy with a Nebraska pullover on that show. I think that's a big deal.
And tonight is the Outland Trophy Dinner in downtown Omaha. The winner this year is Brandon Scherf from Iowa, who we've had here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They also honor a past winner, you know, pre-banquet, pre-awards, you know, national awards circuit. So Ross Browner, the 76 Outland winner from Notre Dame, will be there as well. Former Huskers Will Shields, Aaron Taylor, Zach Wiegert, all winners. They will be there. Trevor Roach will be presented the Tom Novak Award, Amir Abdullah, the Guy Chamberlain Award, Jake Cotton, the Cletus Fisher Native Son Award. And then probably, even though the Outland Trophy is the moment, the actual moment tonight, will be Tom Osborne presenting the first annual Tom Osborne Legacy Award to Milt Tenneper, who is battling cancer and, of course, was honored when the national championship team came out and one of the great assistant coaches. Do you have a Milt story?
Oh, there's a million Milt stories. I love that guy. There will not be a lot of dry eyes at that thing tonight. The Outland Banquet is such a great event. I've been to about two or three of them, and that's and with Milt. Milt's one of those guys that, you know, he's Uncle Milty. I mean, he is to the guys that played for him. He is that guy, and he hasn't changed a lick, and just love him. I mean, he just is that guy that could absolutely get the most out of you. And he's kind of like, you know, your dad, where the worst thing in the world wasn't for him to yell at you and scream at you. It was to disappoint him. He was that guy. And when you'd go into and watch film, you know, God, you just dreaded a play where you knew you screwed up because he wasn't going to scream at you or yell at you. He was going to look at you and go, Monty, that's not very good. And he'd say something like that and it'd just crush you. You know, not that he said that a lot. Well, he might have said that a lot. I don't know. But he was just that guy. And, he's a legend. He absolutely is a legend.
Also, the Loper wrestling team, a winner last night over York. The basketball teams begin a four-game homestand tonight against Northeastern State at 5:30 and 7:30. Nebraska women will be on the Big Ten Network tonight at 6 as they take on Penn State at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Penn State has fallen off this year drastically. Three-time conference champions, 3-13 overall, 0-5 in the conference. Nebraska cannot afford to let up against the young team tonight. And then the Nebraska men. It's a huge point spread, but some people tend to think that Nebraska might even have a chance here because they're banged up a little bit and because that was an amazing win at Pinnacle Bank to kind of solidify Nebraska's NCAA tournament berth last year when they wrapped up the regular season. They held Frank Kaminsky as much in check as they could. 8:05 tonight on ESPN2 and The Breeze, 94.5.
I wish that Frank Tang hadn't got cleared for that concussion testing. I guarantee that. The other thing is, I wish they hadn't got beat to Rutgers, because I think they're a team, if they're, you know, they're injured a little bit and they hadn't gotten beat, we could maybe sneak in there and slip something in the back door, but I don't think so. On the other hand, this is one of those no-lose sort of games for Nebraska, because they aren't expected to do much. And you know, you see that a lot of times where a team will come in and do something that nobody expects to do. We don't have much to lose. I don't anticipate a victory, but boy, it'd be sure be nice. They had some travel trouble. Did you see that? Nebraska's had mechanical trouble in a plane yesterday, so they were debating whether to fly in and get still last night or yet this morning, because you know they got the routine. They got into Madison about 3 a.m. this morning. So, you know, for all the routine guys, it's going to screw it up. But, you know, sometimes that's not that big a deal. They decide to fly in this morning early, and that way let the kids sleep in. They'll do their walkthrough. They'll do their meetings and whatnot.
It's okay. You don't have to dribble the basketball in the motel convention center. It's okay. You can survive without
tape,
doing
it. Tape
that.
Down on the carpet Good to grab you have your walkthrough. You know how it goes.
Overdone. High school basketball tonight should be a couple of great teams out there, and we've got undefeated teams on 1230 KHAS. St. Cecilia is at Minden. We will also have Axtell Elm Creek on Classic Hits 98.9. Other games in the area tonight, Kearney Catholic travels to St. Paul, and the old Gothenburg-Cozad battle tonight, Monty.
Good one. That will be a good basketball game. There'll be some. That's a rivalry, by the way, if you don't know that.
It's starting to get intense again.
Yeah, no, it's good, and this will be a good one because I think both teams are pretty similar, different styles, but I think they're about as good as each other. It should be a good one.
Anything else you wanted to comment on while you were here today?
At some point, we'll all come in, and I'd love to talk about the new coaching staff in Nebraska and some of the thoughts on that. Recruiting's heating up. We went into Oklahoma yesterday and got the best offensive guard in Oklahoma and arguably in the country. That's a big deal out of Will Shields and Mike Minner's hometown. That's a big deal.
4-star get yesterday for the Huskers in Jalen Barnett. So keep that name on your radar. One thought about the coaches, and we can break it up between now and spring ball. But my concern is there is no Nebraska tie on this staff, which is different from a lot of staffs because there are multiple Division I programs in their state, et cetera, et cetera. As a Nebraska guy, how concerning is that?
I don't think it's concerning, but I wish there was. I didn't let my feelings be hidden. I wish Ron Brown would have wanted to stay or given the opportunity to stay, whatever side. Well, we'll find out the real story here in a week or so. But I wish there was. But at the same time, I also know that these guys are willing to reach out to, the Milt Tenapers of the world and the Charlie McBrides of the world and the people that you need to do that. And they appreciate their tradition. They're happy to be here. And that's a big deal. It sounds cliche, but they are happy to be here because they are given resources. This staff has resources now that they have never had before. Their strength is teaching. Their strength is development of players. They've never had the resources and the ability to do something like this. And so I'm gonna be interested to watch it. I really am.
Well, as I've said all along, better win.
That's always.
Better
always.
Win. Hey, we want to thank Monty Kratz. It's time for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Always great when he can pop in. We also thank Luke Hoover from RotoWire, Kerry Hofstetter, Hastings College women's basketball coach, and, of course, to Brian Seabrantz, head coach at Grand Island Northwest High School, wrestling coach, as they get ready for tomorrow's Lexington Invitational. Jimmy Langan's in tomorrow once again, because it was closed out before the national championship game. Want to give a big shout-out to Russell's Electronics and Appliance for being our grand prize sponsor for the Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza. And congratulations to Ed Carr of Kearney. He was the winner of the 49-inch LG TV. Already has it in his home. And if you get a chance, folks, for the very best, be sure to stop by and see Russell's. And congratulations to Ed and all the winners as we get out our prizes this week. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.